We read sacred scripture this morning from Psalm 136. Psalm 136. The word of God in Psalm 136. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Text for our sermon this morning is the first verse of this psalm. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the privilege this morning of gathering together as a congregation and to have Thanksgiving Day put into perspective. The day is a national holiday, a day in which we observe the end of the harvest season and the gathering in of the crops. It's a day that the world will celebrate. And if we could listen in to some of their conversations, undoubtedly some of them would speak of their thankfulness, how thankful they are for food and for health and for family, for example. But in a sense, this day belongs to the church. It belongs to the church in the sense that it's God's people who truly can and do give thanks, and who do so not just on this one day designated out of the whole of the year, but who do so all of our life long. That's the case because we alone truly know and confess the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. That phrase in our text is one of the most oft-repeated phrases in the whole of the Word of God. In 1 Chronicles 16, we're told that David sang those words with the people when they brought the ark back to Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles 5 and 7, we're told that Solomon and the people sang these words at the completion of the temple and its dedication. In 2 Chronicles 20, we're told that King Jehoshaphat told the singers to sing these words when the armies of Judah were going out into battle. Those same words are repeated in Psalm 106, Psalm 107, Psalm 118. Over and over again, the church has these words on its lips. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And this doxology, this song of praise, is on our lips this morning and on every day of our Christian life. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let's consider this Word of God this morning under the theme, Grateful for Jehovah's Goodness. First of all, note the overflowing goodness. Secondly, the enduring mercy. And then thirdly, the grateful response. Goodness, mercy, and gratitude. We begin with the idea of God's goodness, for He is good. God's goodness is one of His many infinite attributes or perfections. God's goodness means that God is the sum of all of His infinite perfections. He is absolute ethical perfection. In Him is no sin. There's no shadow of darkness whatsoever. God is good in all of His divine thinking, willing, and working. And when our text speaks of God's goodness, it has in mind not only that attribute of God as He is in Himself, but God's goodness as He shows that to us, His people. God's goodness to us is His favorable attitude toward us, His people. It means that God is toward us benevolent and charitable, that in His love and favor towards us, He does good to us. God is good in Himself, and He's the overflowing fountain of all good in supplying to us so many good things. And on this Thanksgiving Day, we have opportunity to pause, to reflect, and to remember God's great goodness to us. We have opportunity to remember all of the good earthly gifts that God has provided to us. That idea comes out of Psalm 136 in verse 25 when it says, "Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever." We give thanks to God today for the good earthly gifts that He supplied to us in this past year. This day is tied to the harvest. And historically, many of God's people were farmers whose livelihood was directly connected to the earth and the Lord's provision to them through the earth. The believing farmer on this day can look back on the year, remember the seed that was planted into the ground, the growing season, and the harvest that was taken in, and can confess, God is good. For many of us, our livelihood is not so directly tied to the earth, and yet on this day, we as well remember with thanks God's provision to us of our daily bread. We look back on a year in which God has provided us with food and drink in abundance. He's provided us with work, with a business that's steady and with a job that's consistent. And by those means, He provides us with the money necessary to meet our needs and to have something left over to give to the poor. We say, as we reflect back on the year, truly, God is good. For many of us, we can look back on a year in which for us and for our family, God has provided a measure of good health and strength, and we confess, God is good. Some of God's people in this past year recall the work that God has done in their home or their family. Some of God's people have been married in this past year. Some have welcomed a child or a grandchild. And as we think about what God has done in our relationships, our homes, and our families, we confess, God is good. It's good for us to do so. We have so much, and the danger of being wealthy is that we forget about God in all of these things. That we simply look at all of the earthly things that we have and we enjoy them and we fail to acknowledge the hand of the giver. The danger of wealth and prosperity is that we begin to trust in ourselves, in our own work ethic, and our own ingenuity to provide all of these things, and we fail to acknowledge that all of these things have come to us from the hand of God. And it's good for us to take an exhaustive inventory of our life, to recount in all of the ways God has provided for us, including all of the good earthly gifts, and to remember that all of these things have come from the hand of God, and to confess, God is good. But that may raise a question in our mind. Question for some might be theoretical. What about the child of God who's not received all of those things? And can that child of God confess today that God is good? For some, that question is not merely theoretical. That question is intensely personal. In my life, our sufferings, there's loss, there's sorrow, there's want. Does that mean then for me that God has not been good? Is it only those who have much that can confess the goodness of God? Perhaps the question that comes to mind is the question that we sing of in Psalter number 210. Will God forsake me in distress? Shall I His promise faithless find? Has God forgotten to be kind? Has He in anger hopelessly removed His love and grace from me? There may be a believing farmer on Thanksgiving Day who looks back on a year in which the seed was planted late, and there was drought, and there was flooding that washed away a majority of his crop, and so that in the last few weeks, all that he's taken in is a meager harvest. And the farm economy is bad, and the believing farmer wonders, is God good to me? There may be the believing family who today looks back on a year of want and poverty. They've been scraping by. They hardly have enough to make ends meet. They've been pinching pennies for months. There's a business that's struggling and perhaps failing. There's a job with a reduction in hours or a cut in pay. And there's want and there's lack. And the believing family wonders, is God good to us then? There's some who look back on a year where there's not been health and strength. They or their loved ones have been laid low with sickness and affliction. Endless doctor's appointments and a multitude of medications. There's a frightening diagnosis. There's the breakdown of the body. There's impending death. And they wonder, is God good to us? Or has He forgotten to be kind? Or children of God with struggles in relation and family. The single who desires to be married and sees all of his or her friends being married off and yet still single. The believing couple who sees all of their other family members and friends marrying and having children and they don't have any children. There's the lonely widow and the lonely widower who sees all the other couples in church and they're doing things together and they don't and they can't because they're all alone. And they wonder, is God good to us? Is God good to me? Perhaps as a congregation, we reflect back on the year and what the Lord has led us through as a church. We reflect on the loss of friends and family with whom we kept Holy Day. Now they're gone. There are families that on this Thanksgiving Day struggle on account of relations with others, with family and loved ones with whom now there are many hardships and hard words and the struggle with how to deal with that. And in the face of such loss, we may wonder, is God good to us? Or has He forgotten to be kind? What are we to think of all this? Is it only in times of wealth and prosperity and having much that the child of God can say God is good and that for others of God's people that confession is not on their lips? The answer to that is found in that last phrase in our text, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. God's mercy is another of His wonderful attributes. God's mercy is His pity and His compassion upon His people as we're sunk down into misery, particularly the misery of our sins. God is not some distant, cold, unfeeling God. God is tenderly affected toward us. He has mercy and pity and compassion upon us as we're sunk down into misery, particularly the misery of our sin. And God's mercy is the power by which He lifts us up. It's not as if God has this compassion and pity upon us, but He's helpless to do anything about us and helpless to lift us up out of that. As the sovereign God, He's not only willing, He's able, and His mercy is the power by which He lifts us up out of our misery. That mercy of God toward us is revealed most clearly and powerfully in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sending of Jesus Christ into this world and His atoning death on our behalf at the cross, we see revealed the mercy of God toward us. What pity and compassion He has upon us in the misery of our sin that He'd send His only begotten Son to stand in our place. And what a power of God. power of God which saves us, revealed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Mercy of God to us in Jesus Christ is our salvation. And we sing of that and read of that here in Psalm 136. God's Old Testament people recount their deliverance out of the bondage of Egypt, his leading of them through the wilderness, his bringing of them into the promised land. And as we well know, all of that is typical of God's saving of us in Jesus Christ, his deliverance of us out of the bondage of sin, his leading of us through the wilderness of this life, his bringing us home to glory. What great mercy God has shown to us in Christ. And that mercy of God to us endures forever. It's constant, it's faithful, it's unchanging. There's no interruption of that mercy. That mercy never comes to its end. His mercies to us are new every morning, and his faithfulness to us is great. That's the case because of who our God is. He's the Lord. He's Jehovah, we confess here. He's the I am that I am, who's immutable, who's unchanging in himself, and who does not change in his covenant love and his faithfulness to us in Jesus Christ, because he is the great I am, because he's unchanging. His mercy to us endures forever. His mercy endures though we sin against him daily, though we sin deeply and shamefully. His mercy endures. His mercy endures though we forget about him. His mercy endures though in pride we elevate ourselves and we live in dependence upon ourselves for our earthly needs. His mercy endures though we walk the dark, lonely path. His mercy endures forever. It's in knowing that, that the child of God, in whatever circumstances of life, can confess God is good. He's good. He's good to me, for his mercy endures forever. It's a beautiful confession that bursts from the lips of the child of God. There's a story that's told about one of the early New Testament church fathers, Athanasius. He and his congregation were suffering opposition and persecution, some even having lost their life. And while the enemies are pressing in around this church father and the congregation, Athanasius opens up the Word of God to Psalm 136. And he reads the first part of every one of those verses, and the congregation responds. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. In the midst of such opposition, they confess the goodness of God, for his mercy endures forever. A beautiful thing to see that in the life of the child of God and to hear that on their lips. Child of God who experiences lack and poverty and the crush of financial burdens, to confess God is good. For the child of God whose body is racked with physical affliction, who suffers mightily with some disease, to confess, God is good. Hear the child of God who's lonely. To hear the grieving widow at the graveside. To hear the believing couple with that stillborn child. Say, God is good. For the child of God who's hurt, whose family is troubled, for the Church of Jesus Christ that's experienced trouble, to confess, God is good, for His mercy endures forever. He's not forgotten about us. He's not abandoned us. He's not forgotten to be kind. His mercy endures forever. His mercy towards us in Jesus Christ endures forever. His mercy endures in times of wealth and prosperity. His mercy endures in times of hardship and want and sorrow. So that even in the midst of those circumstances, we can confess, God is good, for His mercy endures forever. All of these things are sent in His mercy and His love. They work together for my good and my salvation. And though I maybe not fully understand all of that, I know and believe God is good and His mercy endures forever. On this day and every day for the Christian, the focus then is not on the gifts. The focus is on the giver. The focus is not so much on the earthly things, though we receive them with thanks from the hand of God. But the focus is not on whether we have much of those earthly things or a lack of those earthly things. The focus is on our merciful God, remembering His mercy towards us. We're confident of His goodness to us. That's something that we constantly need reminding of. And that comes out here in Psalm 136 by the repeated refrain, "For His mercy endures forever." There's 26 verses here. Each one ends that way. 26 times we read, "For His mercy endures forever." It's as if the Holy Spirit takes a nail and a hammer, and the nail is "For His mercy endures forever." And 26 times the Holy Spirit pounds that nail down deep into our heart, into our mind. "For His mercy endures forever, for His mercy endures forever, for His mercy endures forever." 26 times, so that nail is hammered down deep into our hearts and minds so that we never lose sight of that and never forget that. The Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. Knowing that, we have such cause for thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. The word "give thanks" in the original here is an interesting word. It literally means to extend the arm and to point at something. And the idea is that we extend the arm and we point the finger at any of these earthly things, and then we trace the line back to the giver. This is thanksgiving. Point at what we've received, whether it's much or it's little, and we trace the finger back to God, the giver of it, and His goodness and His mercy. It teaches us something important about thanksgiving. Thanksgiving grows out of the heart cultivated by the Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving grows out of a heart that knows its dependence upon God with the hand extended up to heaven. It's God and it comes from His hand, the good things and the hard things. And they come in His goodness and His mercy. Thanksgiving flows out of the heart that knows its dependence upon God. And it grows out of the heart that knows my own unworthiness. The finger is not pointed here at self. It's pointed away from self and it's pointed up to God, to our Lord Jesus Christ and God's mercy and goodness toward us. Thanksgiving is an acknowledgement. I don't deserve this. All that I've received, the earthly things that I have, the spiritual blessings that are mine in Christ, I don't deserve any of it. It comes freely as a gift of grace from God in His goodness and His mercy. From such a heart that knows its dependence upon God and its own unworthiness flows real gratitude. We're called in this Word of God to render such thanks to Him. At times that may come easily and naturally for us, it seems. Where we reflect upon all that we've had and we express such thanks to God so readily. But there are times also where that's a struggle for us. Again, in the times of hardship and affliction. We're tempted not to be thankful, but to be discontented, to be bitter, to be angry. There's a struggle then for gratitude in the heart and life of the child of God. How important then that our mind comes to rest in the truth of God's Word. That our mind rests in the goodness of God to us. That we rest in God's mercy which endures forever. His mercy to us in Jesus Christ. And remembering in times of prosperity and in times of want, God's goodness and His mercy that endures, we give thanks. We give thanks today on Thanksgiving Day. But our thanksgiving certainly isn't limited to this one day out of the year. But every day of our life, we're to remember and recount all that God has done for us in His mercy and to give thanks to Him. And we're to give thanks at all times and in all circumstances. Give thanks to the Lord in times of great wealth and prosperity. Give thanks to the Lord in times of hardship and affliction. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, pray that by Thy Spirit, Thou wilt drive that nail deep down into our hearts and minds, so that we never forget that Thy mercy to us in Christ endures forever. And teach us true thankfulness. May our whole life be characterized by that thankfulness to Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. And as we gather together in this day to give such thanks, we pray, Father, that Thou wilt turn our minds to Thee, that Thou wilt teach us to live in dependence upon Thee and to acknowledge Thee as the overflowing fountain of all good. Keep us in Thy care and in safety. Forgive us of our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's sing.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.